Ramsey TV.
It was the moon video. Do you remember the moon video on Friday? Yes, I just aimed the camera at the moon for 18 minutes because I felt too spiritually oppressed to really look at the camera. Besides, it was dark and I could barely even get out the show because, as you know, I've been very honest with you. I feel oppressed. I don't know if it's depression or oppression, but you know what? Remember, I wrote a newsletter a couple weeks ago saying that if you're in the body of Christ, anything, any trial that comes up against you is about your life in Christ. It is Satan trying to discourage you, to anger you, to depress you, just to get you off track, to get you concentrating on something else except Christ, except your walk in Christ, wants to get you concentrating on your misery. And that can take many different forms. Like, you wouldn't ordinarily associate getting a cold with satanic oppression or with your walk in Christ. We consider persecution to be a Baptist throwing rocks at your house because you believe in the salvation of all. Or, you know, Joel Osteen mentioning you during his show, "Don't listen to Martin Zender." Is that how he talks? No. "Don't listen to Martin Zender. He's evil." No, Joel, you're evil. Anyway, you get the idea. Don't get me sidetracked on Joel Osteen, please. You get the idea. But I say that your whole life, if our lives are hid together with Christ in God, Colossians chapter 3, our whole lives are hid together with Christ. And Paul says, to live is Christ. Then we no longer can separate our life into, well, this is my spiritual life and this is my real life. Now, that's what we used to do. That's what I used to do in the Catholic Church. We had our spiritual life on Sunday morning. We were all holy. We were sanctified. Then we went home and we watched NFL. It's like, yeah, go kill him, get him. I mean, we had, thank God our spiritual life was over. Now we can watch the Browns and the Vikings. Or now we can stuff our faces with pizza. Now I can play football with my friends and try to kill him. Yeah. But no, we don't look at it that way anymore. Our entire life is sanctified. Everything. Everything. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. Therefore, anything that touches our lives is Christ. And it is tailor-made for us by God to temper us like steel. Temper us. Nothing to do with your temper being flared up. Could be. Could have something to do with it. So everything that comes to you is designed by God. Of course, we know that God uses Satan. Satan's his left-hand man, you might say. Yeah, God, I will say that. I will say that on YouTube. Satan is God's left-hand man. I'm not saying Satan's on God's left shoulder, but Satan is a tool used by God. Look at the book of Job. Satan comes up to God. Have you considered, God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Anyway, Satan is dispatched from where? From the throne of God. We've just been talking about 1 Kings chapter 22, when the spirits are assembled before God. Both evil and good. There were spirits at his left and at his right. And I'm assuming that this is my assumption. I don't know this for a fact. The evil spirits at the left, the good spirits at the right. Because as we've discussed, just as there are good and bad people on the earth, there are good and bad spirits in the celestial realm. Don't mean to make this sound simplistic. It's anything but. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, world mights of this present darkness. And they are among the celestials. So back to my moon video. I was being oppressed spiritually. I have ideas of what was going on, but that doesn't matter. I got a nice comment. Well, it was actually a bit of a challenging comment from a man named Ken in the YouTube comment section. That's what I want to deal with today. Ken and me are good. I actually responded, I was a little miffed at first, and I responded, kind of challenged Ken, then he wrote me back, and it's all good now. It's all hearts and flowers, no worries. But the comment was, and I can see the point. Martin, With a Christ life inside you, you should be happier, basically. It's like, yes, we have this wonderful life, and what are you oppressed about? How are you being persecuted? This was the intro. Martin, how are you being persecuted? Because I think I confessed on that show that I'm feeling spiritually oppressed. And I think Ken was, and this is instructive for all of us, was automatically associating persecution with spiritual oppression. And he was also thinking of classic persecution, what I would call classic persecution. Thrown to the lions. Yeah. Being beaten at church. Being burned alive. Yeah, nice things like that. Your head chopped off in Rome. Being crucified. Yeah, that's what we consider to be persecution. Or something directly related to what we would formerly call our spiritual life, which would be a deacon at the church excommunicates you, tells you you can't teach anymore, tells you you're not wanted here. That's a persecution. It's more easy to see that as related to what we would formerly call our spiritual life. But we're not looking at our life anymore like that. We're not dividing it into spiritual life, regular life. To live is Christ our whole life. So I ask you, and I challenged Ken. I said, Ken, for one thing, happiness isn't for me. All right? I have joy deep down, but happiness is fleeting. And so, yeah, I can't always work it up. Then I said, how am I being persecuted? Well, I said, I think you're thinking of persecution in the classic sense, but let me ask you this. Well, first I said, let me tell you this. And I said, right now, I would actually choose being dragged to Rome and having my head chopped off than some of the emotional anxiety or the spiritual anxiety or whatever you want to call it, day after day after day after day. At least it would be over. I have said, and I am on record as saying, that I think everybody should be shot in the head at age 33. Now, I'm not promoting this, and I'm not saying we should actually do it. But Jesus Christ lived to 33 years old, right? And I thought, why should we live any longer than Jesus Christ lived? Not saying I want to be crucified. No, I don't want in on that action at all. But I'm saying life is too long. The people who say life is too short, it just, I can't understand it. What kind of life are they? Are they living on the Love Boat? Life is too short? Are you royalty at the Taj Mahal? What kind of life do you have? Life's too short. You want more of this? What is your problem? I'm even thinking, I never wear t-shirts with messages on them, but if I did, I would get a t-shirt that said, life is too damn long. And then in parentheses underneath, what the hell is your problem? That's what my t-shirt would say. If somebody wants to make me that t-shirt and send it to me, let me repeat. Life is too damn long. And then parentheses underneath, what the hell is your problem? With your in italics. What the hell is your problem? Yeah, that's good. I will wear it on this show. I will wear it. Life is too damn long. Don't forget the damn. Too short? Anyway, so the prospect of being a martyr, say, for the truth, of being dragged to Rome and having my head chopped off tomorrow, I'm not saying I want to be in prison for like 10 years. I'm not into being tortured, not into it. I'll choose this if I had to make my choice. Crucifixion, will not be signing up for that anytime soon. Yeah, shot in the head. Yeah, I mean, it would be exciting. This is what I want to say. It would be exciting to suffer the classic persecution. I mean, it would make you feel alive. Wouldn't it? It makes you feel alive when you're being chased or when, for instance, when we had the hurricane here. This is sort of an analogy here. Sort of works, I think. It was exciting. The hurricane was coming. People were worried about me down here because it was supposed to hit Fort Lauderdale, Hurricane Irma. Right? Was that last year or the year before? I have no clue. I think it was the year before. Anyway, you're galvanized. You're on your toes. You can't be depressed. You understand? You can't be depressed. And let's say there was a giant surge at Fort Lauderdale Beach. We're 2.5 miles from the ocean. But let's say the surge came here and the surge swept us out of our home. You're riding the surge. You're trying to grab onto something. How can you be depressed? I almost rather go through that than be depressed. Honest to God. Yeah, because depression or oppression is so horrible and it just keeps going and you panic because there doesn't seem to be a way out of it. I got a way out of the surge. I'll grab onto that tree over there. Ah, there's a guy over there with a rowboat. I'm going to swim over to the guy with the rowboat. That's exciting. I am not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. Now, I might change my mind if I was actually in the surge, being swept down towards 9th Street, and a guy from the news, WKYJ, whatever, held a microphone up to me. Sir, what do you think about being in the surge? I would rather be out of the surge right now. I'm not enjoying the surge. I wish I had my boring life back. Yes, and I know. If I was being dragged to Rome, I would say, I wish I had my boring life back, my depressing life back. But I'm not so sure. When I was on my bicycle trip across the country in 1980, I had some down moments, but there's nothing like being on an interstate with semi-trucks whizzing past you this far from you. They're right next to you, and they're not slowing down at all because they have fun. They have fun thinking that possibly they could sweep you up in their wake, you know what I mean? But to me, that was galvanizing. I loved it. I felt like I was alive, right? And I've heard this from people risking their lives. I mean, this is not hypothetical. People jump out of airplanes, they climb Mount Everest, they bungee jump because they say that only in those moments did they actually feel alive. And there's something exhilarating about it. There's something exhilarating about pressure, about tension, about your life being on the line. Yeah. And there's the possibility that you could lose your life. I'm like, yippee! This world is worn out its welcome for me. Yeah, I got the message. Yeah, okay, we can end it anytime now. Zip, zip, zip. How often have I told you that if a meteor was heading to Earth, this is true, if a meteor was heading to Earth, I would hope to be in the impact zone, and I would probably moon the meteor. I would greet it with open arms and open ass, perhaps. I mean, I know. It's just like, yeah, bring the action. It's exciting. Anything to end this daily slog. And this is what I mentioned to Ken. Here's persecution for you. You go day after day after day after day. We haven't seen God. We haven't seen Jesus Christ. We're operating by faith. And we keep slogging through here. Many of us are sick. Many of us are discouraged. And if you don't know what depression is, thank God. Your God for that, okay? People who are depressed wish for death. People who are chronically ill wish for death. And so death, you understand, death is actually a more interesting, more desired alternative to this daily grind. The daily grind. They call it the grind for a reason. It's a grind, and it's hard to live ordinarily. It's hard to live an ordinary life. You say, oh, it's so hard to climb Mount Everest. Oh, it's so hard. No, the people who climb Mount Everest, for them, it's easy. They'd rather climb Mount Everest. They'd rather be on the South Col or negotiating the Khumbu Icefall or Camp 3 or the Hillary Step. Freezing their asses off. They'd rather be up there than sitting at the office processing another claim, one after the other, or working at the factory, filling another Twinkie with white cream. Yes, don't feel sorry for the people. Oh, how do they do it? How do they do it? Ask them how they do their jobs every day. Ask them how they fill Twinkies with cream every freaking day. Ask them how they do that. That's what you need to ask them, because they're alive on Mount Everest. If I was actively being persecuted, being chased, having people throw rocks at me on the street, I'd be galvanized. It would be kind of exciting. It's like, I'm suffering for the Lord. I'm suffering for the Lord. Yeah, I mean, it would be so obvious, right? Like, Martin Zender, he's really suffering for the Lord. He didn't do anything wrong. He's a good guy, but somebody didn't like his video about justification, and so now they're pelting him with stones when he goes to the grocery store. It's like, I'd be a freaking hero. Yeah. It was like, Martin Zender, way to go. Woo! And I've often asked my friends, back in the 90s, we were driving up to Baldwin, Michigan for another weekend of meetings. My friends and I were in a car with Ken Pridemore. It's just not the same Ken. Ted McDivitt. There was somebody else, I think. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, I said to these guys, we're stopping at Wendy's for hamburger. I said, hey guys, why aren't we being persecuted? What are we doing wrong? We're having a nice, peaceful drive up to Baldwin, Michigan. We're going in here for a double at Wendy's. We're going to go up to Baldwin where there's nice people, and I'm going to give a talk. Ted, you're going to give a talk, and we're going to have the raisins for the kids, and it's going to be peachy keen. What the hell are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong, Ted? What are we doing wrong? But I don't look at it that way now, because I see persecution in every crack and crevice of life. I went through a divorce, and it was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. And it wasn't my doing. It was forced upon me. I'm not the kind of guy that leaves people. Zilch, zero. No, I can't do it. Anyway, that was the worst thing I've ever been through, and Satan wanted that to destroy me. Yes. Do you think something like that can destroy people? Yes. People kill themselves over divorces, especially when they're married for 25 years. Yes, they shoot themselves. Satan would have loved for me to have shot myself, because then I wouldn't be making this video. Perhaps hundreds of people who get the truth from me, they would not get the truth from me. I would not have any books, or you understand. Satan wants me dead, obviously, because as I told Juliana yesterday, Satan doesn't mind if 8 billion people believe the lie. All the people in the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, he's happy with that. Why not? He invented it. He's fine with that. He doesn't care if there are 5 people over here with the truth. As long as it's contained, they're corralled, they're not doing anything about it, he's fine with that. Let's review. Satan is fine with 8 billion people in the Christian religion. He invented it. He's perfectly happy because all the teachings are false, and they actually honor and glorify Satan instead of God. Yeah. Or the human being. Over here, we have 2 or 3 people who just hang their hammock on the consummation. Yep, God's the savior of all. And they believe all the right things, but they're not doing anything about it. Satan's fine with that. It's contained. When someone from the 5 people wants to take the truth to the 8 billion people, is crossing over the gulf between the people who have the truth and the people who don't, that's when you show up on Ratface's radar. He don't like that. And he wants anybody taking that message from the little contained group to the masses, he wants them out. And he'll do anything he can, including killing them or discouraging them so much that they quit. And he can discourage you many ways. You see, if I was actively persecuted, I'd be galvanized. I'd be making more videos. I'd be making a video telling you how I got rocks thrown at me at the grocery store. And many people would be excited. In fact, I would take my phone with me. I would show people throwing rocks at me, and I would have a million views. It would be fantastic. You think Satan wants that? But if he can discourage me slowly, if he can eat my liver out, and I don't mean literally, I'm speaking figuratively, if he can just gnaw at my innards, gnaw at my convictions, gnaw at my resolution, gnaw at my desire to get this message out, if he can just keep me from making that video on Friday, he could have kept me. He tried to keep me from making that video. He don't want that video out. Hell no. He doesn't want it out because the truth came out. Even as I aimed the camera at the moon, the truth came out. A friend of mine in Toronto named Lola, she had 4 pages of notes from that talk. Here I am trying to survive, yet bringing a message to the saints, proving once again that it's not the messenger, it's the message, proving once again that you do not need to be inspired to do this job, the job that I do. You just need to do it. Just do it. Proving it. She's like, oh my God, this is so spiritual. I got so much food. And she showed me 4 pages of notes off that talk. I'm going, wow, that's fantastic. Satan was defeated again. That's persecution. Don't think you're not being persecuted. Don't think that God is not using both good and evil to hone you. To keep you humble, yes, he's going to keep you humble, that's for sure. He keeps me humble every day. Don't worry about writing me and telling me how wonderful my writing is or how you love my show. I'm not going to get a big head. Just try, right? Try to give me a big head. Please try. Please, please. Use every adjective you can find. Wonderful, brilliant, funny, intelligent. And go to a thesaurus and look up other synonyms and just lay them on me, because that might get my head above water or at water level where I can breathe, right? Yeah, I don't get a big head. It's freaking possible, all right? Believe me, if I get a big head, I enjoy it for as long as I can, and I think my world record big head is probably 3 minutes. And then something happens, and then the ego deflates again. God has many creative ways of deflating your ego. Yeah, you do need ego to survive. You do need ego. So don't think that because you're not getting rocks thrown at you at the Publix grocery store, or because the Baptists aren't throwing bricks through your window, don't think that you're not being persecuted for your faith. You're being persecuted through your faith, through the discouragements you receive, through, it doesn't have to be directly related to the cross, through to heralding the evangel. You're being persecuted through a sickness, anything that tends to demoralize you, anything that tends to make you just want to give up. Give up on Christ because he's waiting too long. Why isn't he doing this for me? Satan plants those doubts in your mind. Why isn't he making me well? Maybe God doesn't care about me. Nah, Satan feeds that crap. Feeds it. We don't need that. We don't want that. But we're tempted not to resist it because we think, well, this isn't the right persecution. It is the right persecution. You're always being persecuted. But God is doing that, not to us, as I always say, and I say this to myself. I look in the mirror as I say it. God's not doing it to us. Ladies and gentlemen, no, he's doing it for us.